Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11, and I just want to deal a little bit more tonight with how God used Barnabas. And as I said today, and I've made it very clear, and I'll make it very clear again this evening, that it's not so much Barnabas, but it's the God in Barnabas. And God cared for Barnabas. God loved Barnabas. God saved Barnabas. God changed the life of Barnabas. And so he had a great desire to go out and care for others and see them saved by the good grace of God. And so let's begin reading once again in verse number 19 of Acts chapter number 11. Acts 11, verse number 19. We'll read these verses again to get you refreshed in your mind and your heart about what we were sharing in our introduction this morning. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." Verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." The Bible says the tidings, verse 22, "of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, as I prayed, Lord, in the prayer room, Lord, I know my flesh at times is weak, but the Spirit is willing. And I understand what the Apostle Paul was ordained to write when he said the Spirit and the flesh is at war, and they're battling one another. And Lord, there's times that we've been guilty of fulfilling the desires and the lust of the flesh and failed thee and sinned against your will. But we thank you, Lord, for the times that you've given us victory, Lord, and we have fulfilled the will of Holy Spirit in our life. And tonight, these are here and they've done that. Lord, although the flesh, Lord, had them to stay home or had them to do something else, they obeyed the Spirit of Almighty God, and they've gathered in this place that they might receive instruction, they might receive help, encouragement, maybe even reproof or rebuke, so that they might be the Christian that they desire to be. And so, Lord, give us strength as we battle the flesh. Lord, that spiritual warfare that's going on, Lord, help us to be reminded that being a Christian is not being on a playground, but it's being on a battlefield. And there's principalities of darkness, of evil, that is all around us that would hinder and would harm us. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Lord, we're glad that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so thank you for these that have gathered in this place again tonight. I pray that you would use me, Lord. You know, Lord, that I need thy help. I pray you'll speak through me. Breathe upon me, Lord. I ask you in these things, Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, you know, I don't need to say much about Barnabas. I don't need to go into great detail of what I've already said in the introduction this morning. But we talked about how that there were some people that went out into the uttermost parts of the world. They went beyond Jerusalem and Judea, and they go out into the land of the Gentiles. And there, while they were there preaching, the Bible says there were some
that only shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to their fellow Jews. But yet, thank God, in verse 20, there were some of them who were not prejudiced when it came to sharing the gospel. Some of them who understood what Jesus said when he ascended up to heaven, when he said, go and to preach the gospel to every creature, amen. And so they understood and they obeyed that summons or that commission that God had given them. And so they go, and they go to Cyprus, the island out off the coast of Syria and Cyrene, all the way to Antioch, and they're preaching the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. If we're going to see folks change, if we're going to see the old drunk give up the beer bottle, if we're going to see the old drug head give up the dope, I'm telling you, the only way that'll happen is not by turning over every new leaf in the forest. It's not by joining a church. It's not by being baptized, but it's only going to be through the precious, priceless, purifying blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men preached Jesus. They preached him crucified. They preached him buried. They preached him resurrected from the grave. They preached him willing to save whosoever will. And they preached him soon coming again. And many people were saved. These people were baptized. These people, at the moment of their salvation, the Holy Spirit of God filled their life and abode in their life, and they became new babes in the faith of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says in verse 22 that the church of Jerusalem, these leaders, these Jewish leaders of the New Testament church, these men, they heard how God had moved and they had revival just like they'd had in Caesarea in chapter 10 over at Cornelius' home, and how many of the Gentiles were saved there. And they hear about another revival that sprung up over there in Antioch. And so they think and they pray and they say, we need to send a Bible teacher. We need to send somebody up to Antioch, 300 miles away. Somebody that will love these people. Somebody that will be a great example. Somebody that will practice what he preaches. Somebody that will be an example in the way he lives and acts and talks and walks. And so the Bible says that God ordained upon their heart that the man ought to be Barnabas. And what a man Barnabas was. Oh, would to God that God would give us some more Barnabases in an Open Door Baptist Church. Can I get an amen? And Barnabas was a great godly man. And so this morning we talked about his care. We talked about, number one, he cared enough to go. For this man to leave everything that he knew, to leave everything that was familiar to him, to leave his home, to leave his job, his business, to leave all those things that he knew about and cared about, even some family and acquaintances and friends. He left it all because he loved the Lord more. Can I get a witness? And the Bible says he left it and he came all the way to Antioch there to be a great witness and a great teacher and a great example and a great encourager to these brand new Christians in the Lord. And so the Bible says he cared enough to go. And then we see that not only he cared enough to go, but he cared enough to see them grow. The Bible says he exhorted, or he invoked, he beseeched, he prayed, he desired that these new Christians would grow in grace and in the knowledge of their new Savior, Jesus Christ. So often we pray and we pray and we pray that somebody will be saved. And we put a lot of time and we agonize with God. And it seems like every time we bow our head to thank God for the bologna and cheese sandwich, God, we have in our heart and say, Lord, and by the way, save so and so. Lord, you know I love them and I'm talking to them about thee. Would you please save them? And we pray and we pray and we pray. Then they finally get saved and we quit praying for them. We just leave them all to themselves. But friend, that's not when we stop. We are to pray even more that they grow and they be strong in their faith and that their testimony will give glory unto our Father Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says he cared enough to see them grow. And he prayed that they would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that with purpose of heart, not only with their heart, but with purpose of heart. Can I say this today? If you'll give me an amen, after I said it, it'd be a great blessing to me. But can I say to you that before we met the Lord, we had no purpose in life. But since we met the Lord, we've got some purpose. We've got a real purpose. I've often heard people say, you need to find purpose, your purpose in your life. That's hogwash. That's not Bible. You need to find God's purpose in your life. Amen. My purpose, what I thought was my selfish purpose, was not of God. It was not scriptural. But since I got saved, God has given me the desire, and God's given you the desire, that we might fulfill God's purpose in our life. And so he said, with the purpose of their heart, to purpose, as Daniel was a man who purposed in his heart to do right. No matter if it meant that he would not be promoted there in King Darius' land of the Persian Empire, Daniel was a man that he said, I'm going to purpose to do what is right before the King of Kings and not just the king of some little country. And so he said, I want you to purpose in your heart that you would cleave, that you would abide with the Lord. Oh, I would to God we'd see more people in our church that would abide or cleave unto the Lord. Oh, that they would just hold on to the Lord. No matter if the storms of life come, if they would just hold on to the Lord, no matter what, just hold on to the Lord and say with the purpose of their heart, come hell or high water, I'm going to stick it out with Jesus. By the grace of God, I'm going to serve the Lord. I won't thank God for Joshua. I want to thank God for him. What a man that when everybody else was serving other idols and going after false God, Joshua stood in the midst knowing that he wouldn't be Mr. Popular, knowing that he might lose a friend or two, knowing that he might lose a promotion or two, but Joshua loved his God more. And he said, as for me and my house, do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, can I get a witness? I'm going to serve the Lord. And I hope that God, you have a heart like that. And Barnabas was a man. Thank God he was a man that cared enough to go, and he cared enough to see him grow. The Bible says that he wanted them to cleave unto the Lord. I tell you that if you're not cleaving unto the Lord like you ought to, like Barnabas desired these people to, I'm telling you, you're not going to last long. You'll fall, you'll be moved, the Bible says, by every wave of doctrine, and you'll be discouraged, you'll get down and out, and you'll quit. I'm telling you, listen to me, you and I need to grow so much that we cleave unto the Lord. I thought about the little birds. Have you ever thought about why those birds can be on a limb and they can clutch that limb with their claws and they can fall asleep and never fall off that limb? God created those little birds that in their legs they have tendons around their knees, that when their knees are bent, that those tendons are like steel, and those claws are like a steel grip, and they can't move right or left or forward or backwards and fall off because God's created that way. Let me tell you something. When the winds of this life comes and batters against us and it shakes our little limb that we're in, and boy, if we'll just cling unto the Lord, God will give us a hold like a steel grip and we won't fall. Hallelujah. David said that I might fall, but I get back up. David said, Paul said, we've been discouraged, but we've been cast down, but we've not been destroyed. Thank God for a God that lifts us up and sustains us and holds us with the power of his hands, and no man can pluck us out. Oh, that we would cleave unto the Lord as a little bird cleaves unto that limb in the time of storms. And the Bible says that he was a man that cared. Then I want to say to you tonight that not only do we see his care, but I want you to notice his character. I want you to notice his character. Notice in verse number 24, the Bible says simply that he was a good man. You say, preacher, that's very simple. Oh, my friend, you're missing it. I believe what the scripture says is so, don't you? I believe if the Bible says Barnabas was a good man, you better take it to the bank. Barnabas was a good man. I mean, what a testimony. God is a God that would not lie. His word is not fallible, but infallible. It's not a book of fairy tales. It's not a book that gives out false information. It is a book that you can rely on for your instructions in how to live for the Lord. And the word of God is a book of virtue, a book of truth. The statutes of the Lord are true. The words of the Lord are preserved from generation to generation and is forever settled in heaven. And God says that Barnabas was a good man. You mark it down, that's exactly what Barnabas was. He's a good man. Oh, I tell you tonight, just like Barnabas knowed, like God knew Barnabas, God knows us. Just like God knew Barnabas, God knows you and I. He can look beyond the veil. He can look beyond the hypocrisy. He can see our heart. And he told Samuel, when Samuel was looking for the next king after Saul had rebelled and Saul had got away from God, he sent the man of God, Samuel, out there and he said, Samuel, I've got a son of Jesse and I want you to go down there and I want you to anoint him the next king of Israel. And you know the story, or you should know the story. The prophet Samuel came with that anointing oil and there he saw the sons of Jesse and he went with the elders and he said, boy, this has got to be him. And he went all the way down and one was strong, one was beautiful to look upon, and one seemed to be intelligent. And when it was all done, God said, not none of them. And Samuel said, God, I don't want to question you because you're my God, but I'm not understanding. What I'm looking at seems to look pretty good. And God said, you're looking on the outer, but I'm a looking on the heart. Amen. He said, there's a boy, he's not here. He's the son of Jesse. He's out there with the sheep. And he said, go get him. And Jesse fetched him, and it was David. And here come old David, red-headed David. The Bible says, ruddy and of fair countenance, here he came. And God said, Samuel, he's the one. And I know according to the description of David at this time, even though David became a hero of Israel, the great king of Israel, and I know he was a mighty king of Israel, but yet scripturally when Samuel looked at David, Samuel, there's an insinuation there that Samuel thought to himself, this can't be the one. He's not lining up to what I figured the great king. You got to remember the first king they had was a tall, strong man. His name was Saul, and he was a powerful man. And here's this little old young boy who's nothing but a shepherd. And Samuel said, this can't be right. But God says, Samuel, you're missing the boat. He said, I want to tell you, you're looking on the outside. He says, when you see a shepherd, I see a king. Because you look on the outer, I look on the heart. And the outer can look right, but if the heart's not right, God will deny you. And God said, he's the man. He's the man. Oh, what a man he was for God. He was such a man that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. You can't be a man or lady after God's heart unless first you got the right heart. Amen. God said, Samuel, anoint David because he's got the right heart. He don't have the strength. He don't have the beauty. He don't have the intelligence right now that his brothers have, but he's got a better heart. His heart is right with me. And this world today is spending so much time on the outward appearance, and you ought to put on deodorant. You ought to brush your teeth. You ought to comb your two hairs if you got some. You ought to do right. Put on a little perfume or cologne or sweet pea, whatever you want to wear. You ought to clean up that stinking flesh of yours. But if you ignore, if you overlook the heart, I'm telling you, God one day will reveal to you that your heart is the most important thing about you, and it must be clean before God. And the Bible says that Barnabas was a good man. I'm talking tonight about his character. His character. Oh, would to God that there would be more Christians like Barnabas. Oh, you would think of the many times if you read your Bible and you would see little phrases or clause or a word or two that is in a verse you're reading and you think to yourself, if that verse didn't have that phrase or clause or that word or those two words, it would still sound good. It would still sound right. And I'm telling you what, if we read that he was a man that had purposed in their heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, then that would sound good. But God ordained that it be said, that it be notified. It would take notice in our hearts that Barnabas was a good man. I'm telling you tonight, a lot of God's people are not good men. A lot of God's people are not good women. They don't have any character. You can't trust them. You can't depend on them. I'm telling you, they lack character. But Barnabas was a man that had character. Would to God we took the message tonight. Would to God we take the example that God has given us through this great man Barnabas, and we would understand the importance of having good character for the glory of God. The Bible says that he was a good man. A good man. I looked up the definition of character. Webster, Daniel Webster wrote this down, is the traits or the nature of a person. It is the traits or the nature of a person. I remember that my Uncle Tex, when we would play softball together or we would play basketball in a league together before I met the Lord, and I remember that when somebody would get in an argument, when somebody would throw the bat down in disgust, or somebody would cuss real loud, and I remember it to like it was yesterday, my Uncle Tex, and he was an ex-Marine, wasn't scared of nobody. He's serving the Lord now. He's a deacon. He sings in the choir with his wife. God has so moved his heart since my daughter's leukemia. God used that to bring him back to the Lord. And he loves the Lord now. He is faithful to the Lord now. But he was away from God then. But when folks would cuss and when folks would have a little a fit because something didn't go their way, or they would get in a fuss with somebody, he would always take his pocket and he would pull out, it seemed like he always had a quarter, and he would pull that quarter out and he'd say, here's a quarter, go buy some character. Oh, I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard. And he never got his nose punched. He never got a black eye. No one ever said, you're a moron. How about I put one across your lip? Hallelujah. Never. He just always had such a tactful way. He would pull that quarter out and said, here's a quarter. Go buy some character. Well, let me tell you something. Although it sounded good, and although it was something that I admired and thought was fantastic, it wasn't true. Because you can't buy a character. You can't buy a character. If you could, you can't, but it costs more than a quarter. Can I say this? Some folk ain't got but a quarter's worth of character. Amen. They ain't got but 25 cent worth of character. Amen. And you can't buy character. Amen. But I'll tell you something greater than that. I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ, he's the one that can give it to you. You don't have to buy it. Glory be to God. Jesus wants to give it to you. If you'll just trust him, if you'll just love him, you'll read that Bible and you stay faithful. I'm telling you, Jesus will give it to you. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where so many people, God's people, I'm not talking about the ungodly. I'm not talking about those that are on their road to everlasting hell. I'm talking about Christian folks that don't have any character anymore. But he was a good man. He was a good man. Oh, good and godly character that so many people need today in the church, in the family of God, can be seen in the life of this great Christian Barnabas. Can I get an amen? Do you understand the message? I'm telling you, character is so important. Proverbs 22:1. A man that at one time had great character. A man at one time was considered one of the greatest people of God in his time. A man that had a goodly heritage. The man was named Solomon. And Solomon, you say, I remember he was the richest. He was the wisest. You're exactly right. But before he was the richest, before he was the wisest, he was the godliest. And because he was godly, because he loved and cleaved unto his God, God made him rich. God gave him wisdom. Can I get a witness? He got those blessings because he put the Lord first in his life. Oh, one of the greatest worship service you'll ever read in your Bible is when Solomon led Israel into dedicating that temple unto the Lord. What a are you hearing me? What a worship service they had. And boy, Solomon prayed before the people, not as to show off, not so people could hear him like a Pharisee pray, but he cried out to his God Jehovah, and he said, God, you've been the God of my dad. God, you've led us through the Philistinian battles and through the battles of the Amalekites. Lord, you've been good to us. You've helped us defeat the Jebusites. Lord, you've been gracious to Israel. We're just your people, and we're so blessed. And God, I pray the same unction, the same power, the same love that you gave my daddy. Oh, God, give it to me. And God said, I will. And he said, Solomon, because you've cleaved unto the Lord, and because you're godly, and because you got character, I'm going to give you riches. And above those riches, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you asked for. And he became the richest. Listen to me. There is no man even today, that comes close to comparison the value of Solomon, the richest man. There's never been a man, and there'll never be a man. Albert Einstein, take a back seat. Bill Gates, take a back seat. Nobody compares to the wisdom of Solomon. Why, preacher? Because he was a man of character. But let me tell you something about his character. His good character turned into bad character. At one time, what great character he had. But then he began to fall lusting after the heathen women of the heathen nations. And what came with those heathen women was their heathen lifestyles. And the reason their heathen lifestyles came is because they worshipped heathen gods. And the man of great character loses that character, and he's known as a man of bad character. His character got so bad that God allowed him to write the book of Ecclesiastes when he was a very, very old man. Just sometime before his death, he got his heart, thank God, right with Jesus. He got back in fellowship with God Jehovah El Shaddai. He got right back in fellowship with Him, and he looked back and he warns us, life is vanity without Jesus. Riches is vanity. It won't bring peace. It won't bring joy. It'll give you a little happiness, but it won't last. And he warns us, oh, I beg you to read Ecclesiastes time and time again. The word simply means the preacher. Read what the preacher has to say. Listen to what preacher Solomon has to say. A man that at one time had great character, and then he threw it all away. And for years he was known as a man with rotten character. And he wrote a good name. Oh, as he sat there in the ashes of his life, when he sat there and realized that he'd gave it all away, when he realized he had failed his God, when he realized he had turned his back on his God for some woman, the Bible says that he wrote in Psalms, 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. He said, hear me. Are you going to hear me? Can I get an amen? He's talking about character. Good, godly, wholesome character. He said, I'd rather have a good name than to have all the riches of the world.
Oh, I'm telling you, you can die with all the money, you can die with all the prestige and all the fortune and all the fame, but if you die with a bad name, and you die with being a bad example, and you die a person that can't be depended on, that you can't trust because of bad character, I'm telling you, you'll regret it when you stand before holy God. You'll weep before Him and say, oh God, I wish I'd have done things differently. I wish that I had been a man or woman of good character. Barnabas was a good man. Barnabas was a good man. This poem was wrote, and hear me, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, because it will forever be your testimony. Can I read it again? Watch your thoughts. They become actions. Watch our words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character, because it will always be your testimony. Let me tell you something. No matter what you give, no matter what you may do, if you don't have character, everybody's going to remember that till the day they die. You can't buy it. Oh, no, Uncle Tex, a quarter won't do it. But Jesus will give it to you. Jesus will give it to you. As He said about wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Let me say that in this phrase. If any man lack character, let him ask of God. Listen, if there's some flaw in your character, I'm not preaching perfection tonight. Foolishness if I did. I'm preaching on having good, godly character. If there's a flaw in your character, I know we make mistakes. I know we have good days and bad days. I know there's times that we are not the best in our spirit. But if that seems to be something that you can't get victory over, whatever the bad trait may be, ask God to help you with it and say, God, I don't want to have a bad character trait. I'm yours and I want to be an example. I want to live for you and I want people to see Jesus in me, Lord. Oh, I worry about those that don't want Jesus to be seen in their life. Oh, they concern me. But Barnabas was a good man. Character, let me say this. Character shouldn't be based on how others around us act. You know, so often we think that character should be based on how people treat us. We think, and no amens, but I'm right. We think that we treat others like they treat us, and it's fair game. Amen. You're right. Amen, preacher. You're preaching the truth tonight. You're rebuking us. You're reproving us through the Word of God. But preacher, God's Word is true. And you're exactly right, preacher. There are times that we expect that we are to treat folks like they treat us. But the Bible says you treat them like you want to be treated. That's God's way. You treat them like you want to be treated. And so character, good character, should not be based on what people around us do. I know we are influenced by our wives and by you wives, your husband, by our friends at our job, by our co-workers. We're even influenced by Hollywood at times. We're influenced by the sports heroes. There's so many things that wants to influence us. But I'm telling you, we ought to be influenced by good character people. And we ought to understand that by the grace of God, we were on our way to hell. But Jesus loved us. He died for us. And He changed our life. And He wants us to be the Christian that we are to be. And so we don't live and say, well, I'm not the Christian I ought to be because my wife's not. I'm not the Christian I ought to be because my children are not. I'm not the Christian I ought to be because the preacher's not. I'm not the Christian I ought to be because the deacon's not. I'm not the Christian I ought to be because everybody else on my job that proclaims that they're saved, they're not either. Let me tell you something. It ought to be based, on our love for Him and our desire to live for His glory. Character should not be based, good character, on how others are around us. Oh, I know it's easily influenced. I'm not preaching something that I would say to you is impossible because it's possible through Christ. But I'm telling you, I know people influence us. And I know that. My wife and I, we have those intimate conversations about serving the Lord as a family. And I tell her often, I said, honey, you're my wife. You're my right arm. You're my partner in the faith and in the ministry. And I'm telling you, Lord, honey, you influence me whether it's good or bad. And I influence her whether good or bad. And so we have to make sure we're on the same page and our heart is right with each other. And mainly that our heart is right with God so that we'll influence each other for the glory of God. When I talked to Brother Bobby Leonard, about Angela and how I had fell in love with her. And I went up to his office. As you go in the auditorium, when you go in the vestibule, there you go to the right and there's a stairway over here and you would go up the stairway. And right there in the balcony was his study. Of course, it had a window where he could actually see out in the sanctuary. And I remember going there and knocking on the door. And he said, come on in, Brother Lee. Just a generous, kind man. I can call him tonight and he'll say, hey, Brother Lee. Morning, Angie. He knows my voice. And I walked in there and I said, preacher, I got to talk to you about something. I done been called to preach in May. Been saved September 96. Called to preach of May 97. God had done put a call on me, and I announced my call on a Wednesday night in May of 97 there in Tabernacle, Bible Baptist Tabernacle. And then I began to pray. I claimed Psalms 34:10. Can I tell you a little testimony? Psalms 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that wait upon the Lord shall not want any good thing. And that heart got, that verse got a hold of my heart. And I knew as a kid, I heard preachers preach, if you find a good wife, you found a good thing. And I cross-reference, if I wait on the Lord, that means trust Him, turn it over to Him. If I do that, Brother Tim Holloway, I won't want any good thing. Doesn't mean I won't have a desire. The context means that I'll have it. And there won't be a need for want. Are you hearing me tonight? There won't be a need for want. And so I said, Preacher Leonard, a pastor, a preacher. And he knew Angie. He knew her mom and dad, Ted and Pat. Oh, great family, Brother Lee. Great family, Brother Lee. They love the Lord. Boy, they're really blessing their faith. And I know they've been really supportive of Brother Rick Baker. And boy, what a great family. Faithful. Love the Lord. And I said, yes, sir. I said, but I just want to make sure that it's God's will. And I want you to pray with me. He said, Brother Lee, I will tell you this. When you decide to marry her or whoever you decide to marry, when you ask that woman to marry you, you make sure, number one, she's saved. And you make sure, number two, that she's a lady that has character, that loves the Lord, because there's going to be times as a preacher, as a Christian, and whatever God has for you, that you're going to get down. You're going to get discouraged. Make sure she's a lady that's got enough God that she can pick you up. He said, and you make sure, Lee, that you're living close to God, that when she's down and when she's discouraged, you can pick her up. That is a beautiful, beautiful home. And I'm telling you, thank God for times that my wife has lifted my spirits. She's lifted me up as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a counselor, as a director, as a business manager. She's lifted my spirits and has helped me. And thank God for the times that I get to lift her up. And I'm telling you, character is so important. Character is so important. He was a good man. But Angie's not been perfect. And Lee's not been perfect. As a husband, I've made some bad mistakes. I've messed up. There's been times I didn't quite understand her feelings. And there's been times that she didn't understand mine. There's been times that hard-headed Lee decided not to bend or bow. And there's been times hard-headed Angela has decided not to bend and bow. But all in all, I know that my wife has character. And I have strived to make sure that I have character that is pleasing, not only unto her, but I want my children to say, my daddy had character. I want my church to say, their pastor had some character. Oh yeah, he's not perfect. Oh yeah, but through it all, he was a good man. Through it all, he had some character. And even though if I decide not to have good character anymore, if I decide and go a different route, God forbid, but if it so happened that I was to go around, may God strengthen my wife that I won't influence her with my bad character so that she has bad character also. Good character should not be based on people around you, how they treat you, how their character is. It's so easy. It's so easy to talk to somebody and get a rude response, to get a rude remark, and for that flesh. Are you still in your flesh? Is anybody out of the flesh? Anybody at all? Thank God you're not, because you wouldn't be here. You'd be in heaven. Your flesh would be buried, planted somewhere right now. Thank God we're going to have a new body. The Bible says a body like unto the Lord. We'll not be little Jesuses in heaven, but we'll have a body that the Bible says morality will put on immortality. Immortality will put on immortality. The corruptible will put on incorruption. We'll have a body that knows no pain, knows no heartache, knows no aging at all, knows nothing like what we knew here, because the formal things are all passed away. But listen to me, while we're here, God give us good character. And let's not base our character how it's going to be because of the character we have around us. I'm telling you, I hope I get an amen. Only amen if you really amen. I'm telling you, we're living a day where there's not a lot of good character people live. They're not in the White House. When a man will stand as the president of this country and he'll boldly say, I support gay marriage, he lacks character. When a man says that abortion is okay, he lacks. I don't care if they showed on the internet on Easter Day him and his wife and his two girls walking to the church down from the White House. He still has no character. When our Supreme Court would even consider gay marriage, our justices have no character. When our politicians can go out and have affairs, and they can go out and they can spend money and cover it up, they ain't got no character. when our preachers can stand in the pulpit and they preach that you ought to live right, you ought to do right, and they're not, they lack character. When our Sunday school teachers can teach and act as if they are just so close to God, but yet their heart is far away, they lack character. Police officers all around us are corrupt. They lack character. There are so many people in so many different branches of government and different government agencies and different jobs and associations around the world that lack godly, good character, but not Barnabas. Carol, he was a good man. His care, he cared enough to go. His care, he cared enough to see him grow. And his character, he was a good man. Says who? Says God. I'll close with two examples. I was referring to our character, what kind of character, the good character that we should have, shouldn't be based on others. One day, this gentleman, a businessman, was going into an office building there in New York City, and right when he reached for the door, a young lady was coming out, and he grabbed the door handle, stepped aside, and opened the door. She was a woman that was a feminist, a woman that believed and pushed all the lady rights and all the things about ladies and so forth that are unscriptural. Not that lady rights are not, but you understand the feminist groups. And she looked at him with that attitude that we don't need men. She said, "Don't hold the door open for me because I'm a young lady." He said, "Ma'am, I'm not holding the door for you because you're a young lady. I'm holding the door for you because I'm a gentleman." Amen. Don't base your character on others. You base your character on the character of Jesus Christ. Oh, you won't be holy and spotless, but He's our great example. I thought about the story, a true story, about a man that was the religious leader in a jungle part of Africa many years ago. True story. And he was about like their witch doctor. He was a self-proclaimed prophet of the people. And because he held that self-proclaimed position of a prophet of the gods, people feared him. And because of that fear, he governed the people in that jungle region. And he always proclaimed that he was a holy man. They said he was a man that always wore a veil over his face. They said no one ever saw this so-called holy man without his veil. And they said he would proclaim to these people in his region that the gods had so touched him that the reason that he had to wear a veil was because the glory of the gods was shining off his face. And if any man saw it, they would be cut down in death. And that's what he proclaimed. True story. They said one day as an old man, he began to develop Alzheimer's, and age began to creep in his mind. And they said one day he went outside and forgot the veil. And it says that people were gathered outside in that village, and when he came out, they saw his face, and it wasn't beaming with bright glory of the gods that he has been saying for years. But they said that it was a face that was so ugly with the scars of life, so ugly that people turned their head. Let me say something to you. You can say all you want to about your character, but I'm telling you, one day God's going to take the veil off. He is going to unveil, and all the world is going to see what character you really had. You may wear a veil now, and you may proclaim this or that, but Jesus, the great judge, He's going to unveil it one day. And He's going to unveil it, and we're going to find out if it could be said like it was said of Barnabas, that you and I was a good man or a good woman. I say this often. True colors. Anybody want to finish? Always come out. It may take a year, two, five, ten. True colors always come out. You go on and be a hypocrite. Go on. But one day when you're not ready, it's going to be revealed. And you're going to be embarrassed. And your testimony is going to be destroyed with those people who you tried to veil your hypocrisy. You tried to veil your bad character, your bad spirit, your critical mouth. When no one else can hear, one day true color will come out. Would to God we take time tonight and say, God, You know my character. You know my heart. You know if I'm a good character person or if I'm bad character, because You see my heart. And so, Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name, work in my heart. Amen. And begin, oh God, Amen, to give me good, godly character that I might be an example to the believers in Christ. Because just like that old self-proclaimed prophet, it's going to be unveiled one day. I hope tonight you've been helped. And I hope that when we think about Barnabas, we realize that he cared and we realize his character. He was a good man. He was a good man. I know that every one of you tonight desire to be considered a good man, a good woman. But if your character, are you hearing me? If your character is not what it ought to be, you're not good as the Bible described Barnabas. We need to examine our character. God, tonight, Lord, we know that we're just sinners saved by grace. Heavenly Father, we know that we have defects. We are sometimes in error. We sometimes, Lord, do things that are ungodly. Sometimes we think, say, walk, talk in an ungodly, an unchristlike manner. But yet, Lord, the Holy Ghost of God abides in our heart like You said He would. And He convicts us. And He reveals to us, just like He might have done tonight to someone, that we need to get that right with God. We need to have better character. Lord, if there's one in this place, if there's one that will listen to this sermon, and Lord, they're struggling in some area of their character, Lord, whether they have a criticizing spirit, whether they have an unfaithful spirit, wonder if they, Lord, just chew people up, cut them up, and yet when they see them, they smile and say, I love you. God, help us to understand how ungodly that is. And help us, Lord, to have good character. Lord, help us, Lord, to be dependable, trustworthy, and godly for Your glory. God, give us a church here at Open Door Baptist full of good character people. I pray You'd help our children, our youth, help them to have good character. Help them not to be influenced by the things of this world. Lord, we think about all the Hollywood stars. We think about the sports heroes of this world. And so often, we hear the news of their problems in their life. we hear the bad things that they do. And Lord, although they can put a ball through a hoop, and they can throw a touchdown pass, and they can drive a fast race car, but yet they don't have good character. Help our children and youth to take their eyes off the sports and the Hollywood stars when it comes to character, and to put their eyes on men like Barnabas, men like Paul, women like Lord Sarah, women like Esther, women like you described, that virtuous woman. Help them to put their eyes on good, godly character people, and let them purpose in their heart, that's the kind of character I want. And Lord, help us to be mindful of our testimony. Help us to be mindful of our testimony. And we'll thank you and praise you, because you're wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins, and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this, and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.